Hello and welcome to the Soft Tattooed Millionaires Podcast. I'm your host, Jack, and I'm joined by my older brother, Max. Max, I have no notes. I have not prepared at all, so let's just get into it.
Yep.
Wayne Rooney.
Wayne Rooney. Remember the name. Wayne. What do you think about all these rumors? I think to me that there's a couple ways of bucketing this. One is like, is this good for the league? Two, is Wayne Rooney good fit for MLS? And three, you know, would you do this if you were in Ben Olsen's shoes? So let's start with the first one. Is this good for MLS? Do we even want to talk about that?
I mean, I think if we say it's good for the MLS, it's the same as Zlatan being good for the MLS. It's the same as any other aging superstar coming to the MLS. This week we saw a bump in FC Dallas attendance because, you know, Zlatan is making an appearance out there. But is it good for the MLS long term? No, absolutely not. The MLS needs to shift from being this retirement league to being a selling and a developing league. And it's like pulling teeth at this point, trying to get teams to sign young, talented players.
Well, I would argue with that. I mean, I think the shift has already kind of happened. It just seems that like some teams are sort of laggards to some extent, the LA Galaxies and the DC United potentially, and some other teams are lagging behind. So I can see the argument. Yeah, it's good for attendance, but is it good for the league? Like, does it raise the quality of the league? And so that's kind of like the second question, which is like, is Rooney actually a good fit for MLS? Is he going to be productive? What do you think?
Well, I think DC United needs to score some goals, and I don't see Wayne Rooney doing that. I mean, actually, so this last season, an average, how many goals did he score? He scored 11 goals.
Yeah, but I think, you know, like maybe like four or five of those, just remembering off the cuff, are penalties.
Yeah,
and he scored most of those goals early in the season, and so he's had this issue for a while with his legs. He's not in great shape. He really wears down as the game goes along, and now in the second half of the season, he's looked a little bit slower, but he's also moved further back in the midfield, and so he's been in fewer goal-scoring opportunities because of that too. So it's a really complicated question to answer. Is he going to score goals? Not sure he's really in that kind of shape to be even kind of like who he was. Watching him play a lot this season, as I have, it seems like he's more of a player who's in a transition in terms of his body and his skill set. And this was sort of a growing pain year, so to speak. And I don't know if him moving is like, well, you know, F it. I'm just going to go to a league where it's easier for me to score goals, or so he thinks, and then going back to his old role.
Yeah. So you watch Everton week in, week out. I remember a couple of years ago when Rooney really started to drop back and people thought that he was going to develop as this playmaker who pulls the strings right behind the strikers. But it never really seemed like he actually developed into that kind of player. He had flashes like here and there that showed maybe perhaps he could play a perfect pass. But really, it seems like that never actually, like the development did never come to fruition. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. Yeah. He can make some great passes. He can make some great diagonals where you're like, wow, he really has a vision. But the thing about Rooney is he has still that like kind of like striker's temperament where he just wants to be involved in the action. And he's kind of like a little bit, I don't know, like impetuous. Like he makes some bad passes. He can be kind of bad in possession. He will like sprint after somebody to like make up for a play after he turns the ball over and that kind of thing. And sometimes that's great. And sometimes it means he just blows somebody up in the tackle and you're like, why did you do this? And so he's actually hasn't like matured as like a footballer in a lot of ways. And he's lost that, you know, like some of his speed and some of his other assets that have allowed him to sort of like play in that style, but he hasn't got that maturity that helps him make better decisions that would facilitate him actually being a playmaker.
Yeah, there are other 32-year-olds that I would rather see, but I mean, Wayne Rooney does have the white guy appeal, and it seems like the MLS is constantly courting this audience of sort of late 20s, early 30s white dudes who don't really care about soccer as much as some other demographics, and I don't really understand why we keep trying to sign top scorers from the 2006 World Cup, you know, and then other news this week that Fernando Torres had sort of agreed to a deal with Montreal Impact, but Impact didn't hold his discovery rights. Interesting that you can ever discover a 34-year-old. And then, I mean, like I said, I have no notes. I can't remember what the team is that holds his discovery rights.
MLS is the league where 34-year-olds come to be discovered.
Yeah, I know. I was talking to my boss about this, and he reminded me that Chivas USA once held the discovery rights for Lionel Messi. Yeah, so
I mean, I think, like to shift back to Rooney and not to talk about Everton too much, but Everton is literally a team that needs a playmaker. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, they have like a bunch of young,
you know, but they need one desperately, right? They need, all season they've needed one, and like Rooney is an Everton legend, and he could not do that. Granted, the league is obviously a much higher level than MLS, but as proof in the pudding for like what you're saying about his inability actually to become that kind of player. I think it's just, he wasn't able to do it all this season, and Everton had to rely on other people to do that. So I'm wondering what his move to MLS is. What, like, do you think he's going to be, just want to be like a striker up front, and how he kind of plays with that might be just sort of like a poacher in a sense. And then I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. I mean, I guess what we're saying is that the quality of the MLS is such that a 32-year-old Rooney can sort of revert back to like a 27-year-old Rooney and play that kind of game. But
here's the thing. I don't really think that's the case. And that was like the third – well, I forget which part of my question that was. Like I talked to another guy who's an Everton fan who's from Liverpool, and we were talking about whether or not Rooney can play in MLS. And both of us kind of felt like people don't understand – well, obviously, as American soccer fans, we understand MLS, but outside of MLS, people don't really get that MLS is like, it is a really like fast-paced game, and you know, like it lacks some of the technical polish that other leagues have, but that just means that there's a lot of back and forth ping pong kind of soccer, and I'm not sure that, you know, Rooney fits into that kind of style, which is just like running, making, you know, being brave, making runs into the box all the time, taking chances. You know, Rooney, I think Bennett would benefit from like a higher skill level, less running kind of environment.
Yeah, well, I think if we look at some of the other major transfers sort of historically in the MLS, like from even like British players, Frank Lampard and Steven Gerrard both were sort of surprised at the level of running and how hard it was on their knees. Pirlo just sort of like, I don't know, set up shop in the middle of the field and just launched these long balls. I mean, even what we're seeing right now with Zlatan, he's never been on a team that's lost four games in a row before in his life. And I think he's sort of looking at himself, wondering what the hell he just got himself into.
Yeah, absolutely. Like Zlatan was calling out his defense, and I feel like it's just like, well, dude, welcome to the MLS. Like I said, it's ping pong. It's back and forth. It's not like it's not always going to be like perfect, you know, feeds from Joe Cole or whatever, or Ashley Cole. You know, it's you know, you've...
Joe Cole, isn't he on the Tampa Bay Rowdies right now?
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. But yeah, you know, it's not going to always be that glamorous stuff. It's going to be a lot of like, oh great, we just gave up two goals. Oh great, you know, like we got to, you know, just sprint counterattack, play this kind of weird back and forth soccer.
Yeah. Were you saying ping pong so many times? Maybe you just think that Zlatan most definitely is an incredible ping pong player.
That's true. What sport do you think Wayne Rooney is also best at?
Doesn't he like to golf a lot?
I could see that. I was immediately thinking of curling.
Well, he used to be a boxer, I know. Yeah, curling. I know he used to be a boxer back in the day, but he wasn't very good. Hmm.
I could see both of those things being true. But I'm also certain that Rooney thought he was a tremendous boxer. That's his temperament.
Yeah, I can't imagine being in the locker room with Paul Areola and Wayne Rooney. The amount of jealousy, follicular jealousy that Wayne Rooney is going to have for Paul Areola's hair is going to be
ridiculous. Wow, great call.
Yeah. Yeah.
Paul Areola is just going to tilt his head and his like hair flop is just going to like he's just going to entirely cover up Wayne Rooney's like weird bald thing that he's got going on, and it's just going to destroy Wayne Rooney's ego.
Yeah, well, I mean, so let's talk about $12 million. I was thinking about this a lot, and I thought, you know, DC United also seems to me to be a team that needs a coaching change, and I was thinking about like signing a coach like Tata Martino is almost like a prohibitive cost where you're going to be able to attract young talent for less money because they want to play with your coach. And I thought, you know, why wouldn't you try and sign one of these major coaches that are without a job right now? You know, I know today was the last day of Arsene Wenger. I don't think that Arsene Wenger has any interest in playing the MLS. I also don't think that young players he has the same appeal because he never coached a Latin American national team. But mm-hmm. like I said last week with the U.S. men's national team job, like Bielsa or somebody like that, where you get this big name coach in and suddenly the appeal for your club within the soccer community, specifically Latin America, is suddenly skyrockets and you're able to land talent that you normally wouldn't land. Like, you know, sort of like Barco, where I think that's a much better long-term model for the MLS rather than continuing to sign these older players who might, you know, bump your numbers at the gate for a season, which is especially important for DC United because of the new stadium, but it will falter down the line.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't think that I see your point about a coach, but I don't think that the coach is necessarily like a key part of that. I think you're seeing savvy teams, regardless of their coaching situation, sign those kind of young players. And so, like, you know, it's not like Adrian Heath is a well-known name, but then, you know, like Minnesota goes out and signs like Darwin Quintero or whomever, you know, like they're, and granted that's not as high profile as Barco, but, you know, like I think the teams that want to go and get those kind of players are going and getting those kind of players, and they're smart enough to do that. So, I don't know. I don't know if that's to be laid at Ben Olsen's feet. If you were him, would you want Wayne Rooney?
I don't know who's calling this shot. Like, this seems to be like an ownership call. It doesn't seem like he's. I mean, I don't know why a coach would want, like, if that's the only person that I can buy with that money, yeah, I'll take him. But if it's like if I have $12 million at my disposal, I'm not spending it on Wayne Rooney. I'm adding way more depth to my roster. I'm adding youth. I'm building for the future. I'm not just blowing it all on this guy who's going to sell some jerseys.
Yeah. No, I agree. I'm skeptical. I've watched a lot of Wayne Rooney this year, and I keep wanting him to be better. And maybe he'll be great in MLS, though. It's hard to say. But, yeah, I'm not too hopeful.
Yeah. All right, you want to talk a little bit about this U.S. men's national team GM news that we heard?
Yeah, what are your thoughts on the two names that have come out?
Yeah, so for those who, last night on Twitter, it sort of came out that Kurt Anolfo and Claudio Reyna are now seemingly the two front runners for the GM position. Just a little rundown on Kurt Anolfo's managerial career. He managed the Kansas City Wizards in 2007 until 2009, 29 wins, 26 draws, 32 losses. Managed DC United in 2010 for less than a year, 5 wins, 12 losses. Managed LA Galaxy 2 for 5 years. He had a pretty good run there. Then he was assistant coach of Bruce Arena for almost a year. Then he was assistant coach, then he became the LA Galaxy head coach for 207 days, 8 wins, 4 draws, 11 losses. Just seems like the most mediocre of choices you could possibly make, but he's definitely one of Bruce Arena's boys.
Yeah, I can't remember if you said that he was coached by Bruce Arena.
Oh yeah,
at University of Virginia too in college. Yeah, I mean, I don't know him enough to like to dismiss him, but if you're looking at the resume and you're just like, oh, a year here, a year here, a year here, not someone who. I would feel like, oh yeah, this jumps out as a great candidate, you know, like, oh, what does he build? What does he manage? It seems like he's been an assistant coach at a lot of different places and had short stints as a head coach at a few places. And that doesn't scream to me, oh, this is a GM. Maybe there are things about the way he has done his conducted himself that are not apparent from that, like just scan the resume level of analysis that I'm able to do, but not a name that super impresses me.
Yeah, I can't speak, but yeah, I'm not impressed either. He was also assistant coach for the USA team for a long time under Arena. So it's sad to see that the old guard is still getting so much respect when the old guard completely failed us.
Yeah, so let's jump into the second name, though. What are your thoughts on Claudio Reyna?
So Claudio Reyna is the sporting director at NYCFC.
They're pretty good.
I guess... Yeah, I guess what surprises me with a lot of these interviews is that the USSF is not afraid to give sort of these younger guys a shot at a really big job. Mm-hmm. And I think what this shows is an understanding of the fan base. It also shows that what they were doing in the past wasn't working. So I guess I don't know enough about Claudio Reyna's work at NYCFC to say, like, okay, yeah, I like what he's done. NYCFC right now are having a great season. How much that has to do with him as a sporting director, I'm not sure. Yeah, we've had some young talent come out of NYCFC, mm-hmm. but it's not quite on the same level as, you know, you'd say like an FC Dallas or even Sporting KC. Also, NYCFC is just younger in general. I guess I'm more okay. Obviously, I'm more okay with it than Analfo. It wouldn't be an appointment that I would feel strongly for or against.
Yeah, I think just compared to Analfo, he actually has years of experience running an entire like team organization, and that's a huge thing. And not just because it gives you some stuff, but it gives me confidence that, like, okay, this is a guy who at least has to like, you know, work at this high level of sort of like committee and census building and all those kind of like dumb corporate-y kind of things. But mm-hmm. it's true. I mean, I think like it's hard for people to make that leap unless they've really spent a lot of time doing that kind of management. So at least he does have that. And obviously NYCFC has been a really successful team and a successful team identifying talent and internationally as well. So that's kind of interesting too. You think Reyna seems to have a good eye, you know, like for example, if the U.S. men's national team was run somewhat like NYCFC and we have like the ability to get people like Patrick Vieira and other folks on board, you know, that would be a great kind of sign. So maybe that's something we can take from his name being floated, an ability to like correctly identify talent, to be open to international people in management and obviously on the field, like Bradley Wright Phillips, that kind of stuff. So seems to me, and obviously he's got connections to European leagues from his playing days, and so an interesting candidate for sure. But I still don't have a strong sense of what his management style is.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, at post Trinidad, Claudio Reyna was one of the guys who came out and said that we are far too arrogant, mm-hmm. which really endears him to me. So I want that attitude in the room when the USSF is making decisions. I want us to have someone who realizes that we can't take anything for granted. I think especially given the success that Costa Rica and Mexico have been having, CONCACAF is going to get more and more difficult, and it seems like Claudio Reyna is the kind of guy who understands that. So,
yeah, and you think about Claudio Reyna's career, you know, like it makes sense why he would be the kind of person who would say something like that. A guy who played kind of like bounced around at a lot of different places and worked for playing time, you know, at some great places, but then also like, you know, Sunderland, Rangers, loaned out to Wolfsburg, you know, like
Rangers were pretty good back then.
Yeah. I mean, that's true. I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, he's a very good player, but also like a guy who didn't get a lot handed to him or anything like that. He worked really hard. He played for, you know, like five different European teams. And so he worked for a lot of different things.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly remember watching him on Man City when Man City wasn't cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely more. I sort of think like maybe they announced these two names simultaneously just so that Claudio Reyna looks like a godsend. But I really don't have anything against him. I think he'd be a good pick.
So far then, what's our best combo of people that we've heard? Claudio Reyna as GM and best coach for you would be whom? Juan Carlos Osorio?
I don't know.
It's hard to even take that seriously, but
yeah, it really is. I guess I haven't heard one serious contender for the coaching position, so I don't know. I'm more interested. I mean, you can't really hire the coach until they have this GM position. So right now, I think my top two GM would be Ernie Stewart and Claudio Reyna.
Hmm. All right.
Maybe Jesse Marsh, maybe Berhalter. Peter Vermes turned it down last week, or at least he signed a contract extension. Whether that means he's turning it down or he's working with Sporting KC so that Sporting KC gets as much money as possible if Vermes does decide to leave for the coaching position. I don't know.
Yeah, I think there seems to be more competency on the level of coach than there is in GM from the names that we've heard so far, which is interesting. I mean, we literally only one of the two candidates for GM that was floated recently has been, or was named as a finalist or whatever, has actually GM experience. So not a lot of like things to make you feel confident.
Yeah, that is true. All right. You said, did you have some?
Yeah, I had kind of like a thought experiment I was thinking about the other day. How many U.S. men's national team players are the best player on their team?
I would say, oh man. And when we say U.S. men's, like just anyone.
Yeah, like the expanded roster, like the 25 guys that you're used to seeing on there. Okay.
None.
Yeah, I was trying to think of someone who I could say like, oh yeah, they're the best player on their team. And I know that's a little bit like misleading, and it can be hard to say, especially because, you know, like, is the right back ever the best player on a team? You know, that kind of thing. But nonetheless, like, and maybe it's just saying the same thing that we're often saying, which is that we don't have great talent as a like a number 10 or as like a striker. And those kind of players tend to be like the best player, or, you know, like attacking talent tends to be like the best player, quote unquote, on a team. But it struck me thinking about that when you look at our main players and you kind of go through the list, you're like, oh yeah, this guy's like the third best player on his team, or he's like the third best. It's a lot of these like good supporting role kind of players that are currently on the roster or on the established roster and the young roster. Granted, that's just a total crapshoot. Who knows how anyone will be, but I don't know. I thought that was striking to me.
Who would be closest? Would you say like maybe Michael Bradley for Toronto if Jovinko wasn't there, or even Tyler Adams perhaps? But I think, you know, even Tyler Adams is going to be third or fourth on the Red Bulls list.
That's a good question. I was kind of going through these things in my head, trying to figure out who's closest. And then I was like, on the periphery, like maybe like Christian Ramirez. Obviously, he's not even anywhere near like a U.S. men's national team like regular. But I was just thinking like, okay, he's a guy who's kind of like the best player on his team, you know.
Yeah.
And he's not, I mean, maybe he's not good enough, or maybe he just doesn't get an opportunity for the U.S. men's national team. But I don't know. Like sort of like old school question maybe, or like.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, Pulisic and McKennie at their peaks.
Yeah, you can't say that about him now.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, yeah, McKennie coming off an injury and Pulisic just being so out of sync. It'd be really interesting to see what happens now that Stöger is leaving Dortmund. Also, Kellen Acosta came back this week for injury. Perhaps he has an opportunity to be maybe one of the best players on Dallas. But
yeah,
that's tough.
But it's a bunch of guys who are like the top five best player in the starting 11. It's interesting. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. Maybe it's just a silly mental problem that any team, if you thought seriously about it, would have this issue. But, you know.
Maybe Dom Dwyer for Orlando would be the closest. He scored six goals in the last six games, so. I think Dom Dwyer for Orlando City might be the best option we have. I think I give too much love to Dom Dwyer on this podcast. I feel like it makes me look foolish.
No, I mean, I like Dom Dwyer. I'm a big fan. But I think like he's actually, to go back to Rooney, he's a good like example where like Rooney can't be what Dom Dwyer is, you know. And I know I'm just doing this because they're both English, but you know, like. Like Dom Dwyer creates all those goals because he's willing to just like put in a bunch of like work to get these opportunities. And that's why he's like able to crush it in MLS. Whereas like Rooney, he just doesn't score those kind of goals. He like scores some like long range shots that he takes too many of and hits one occasionally, or has a ball bounce to him in the box that he hits in, but he doesn't really create a ton of opportunity.
Yeah. True. Is there anything else that you want to add real quick before we get out of here?
I think that's all I've got for this week. But I am disappointed about these GM candidates because it just seems lackluster to me. There's got to be more going on than what we're seeing, or maybe there's not enough that we understand about it. So if any of our listeners have thoughts about this, shoot us an email or point us to some other kind of write-ups or thoughts about this that would help me kind of get a better sense of it. Because right now, if you're like, oh yeah, these are our two finalists, you're like, wow, we really, left no stone unturned if we ended up with only one candidate with GM experience.
We certainly left no American stone unturned, but it seems like we are so, I don't want to say xenophobic, but it does seem like we are so unwilling to think outside of the American box. So,
yeah.
Maybe we ought to. But whatever. What is national sport for if not outdated jingoistic thinking?
That's very true.
On that note, happy Mother's Day, everybody.
Oh, mercy. Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. Sorry it was a little quick one today. We just had to put this in between our jobs. But if you want to get in contact with us, softtattooedmillionaires@gmail.com, or you can find us on Twitter @softtattoomc. Please write us, tweet us, tell us we're morons. We'd love to hear from you.